Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you. That's just the way we are when we come down. We sweat and laugh and scream here, 'cause life is just a dream here.
Tom's going to hurt himself doing that.
I know. Really. I almost had chills, Tom.
Almost. The night is young, Brandon. Stick around. I was looking at the list of the New York Times bestseller books for this week, and it's really... It's weird because there's a book that got my attention because the author was featured on CBS Sunday Morning this past Sunday. Her book is entitled From Here to Eternity. And, you know, when you see that title, okay, probably some kind of a self-help type book. No, actually, it's a book all about in search of the good death. and it's written by Caitlin Doty, who is a mortician, who's a very hip mortician, and she's kind of a YouTube rock star now. Wow. I did not know this until I saw
it. I didn't know you could be a hip mortician.
Yes.
I'm still a little puzzled on that one.
She kind of has that Elvira vibe about her, even though she's not wearing the low-cut shirts, but she's got, you know, the coal black hair and the red lips, mm-hmm. but she's a card-carrying mortician. And on YouTube, she has a page called Ask the Mortician. And she has over 100 episodes of Ask the Mortician. So the combination of her YouTube channel and her books, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, because yes, she has a crematory. And From Here to Eternity in Search of the Good Death. Her goal in life is to get us over our fear of the inevitable and our fear of things like the tradition of going to a funeral mm-hmm. or having to plan a funeral for a loved one, why we do the things that we do, which is really, really interesting.
Yeah, we talked about doing this show a while back, and I started looking into, all right, why? And one of the strangest things is a wake. Why would you do a wake? And traditionally, I think actually it comes from a Jewish tradition, but where you take somebody to their house and you put the person on a table and people, the mourners, come by and visit and mourn. And then legends built up around that. And the most interesting one that I found was came from Ireland. And this legend out of Ireland was you held a wake because people would drink stout out of pewter mugs, and a lot of pewter, not all pewter, but a lot of pewter is made with tin and copper and in some cases lead, and the stout being acidic would leach out the lead. And people who, if you're Irish, you consume a lot of stout. I mean, this is not a not a sipping drink, and would eventually, between the effect of the alcohol and the toxicity, the neurotoxicity of the lead, would go into kind of a comatose state. And so the idea was that you would hold a wake to sit there and make sure Uncle Fred really is dead and he's just not really badly passed out from
too much lead.
Too much lead and too much stout.
So it really, literally, they were waiting to see if you would wake up.
That is right. That is why they call it a wake. They're waiting for you to wake, making sure you're really dead. Of course, nowadays it's determining whether somebody's deceased is pretty scientific. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate adjudication of that is there any brain activity?
Well, this mortician, the author of the book, Caitlin Doty, her goal is to, she says, hopefully in our lifetime, and not just those that are Brandon's age, but she says she really feels that in our lifetime we're going to get to the point where we can have funerals in our home, mm-hmm. and that won't be looked down upon, that will be okay to do as we did 150 years ago, where the family is there and in part of, as opposed to giving it over to a paid professional.
Yeah, I don't really care what you do with me. I mean, I'm an organ donor, so maybe there's very little left when all that's gone.
Right.
And I really don't care, but please, well, I guess I'm an organ donor and they give somebody my heart, then I'm pretty much, I'm assured I'm not going to wake up in a coffin. But looking this up, there have been a lot of internments of people who are not quite dead. And this is an article about in 1896, T.M. Montgomery, who was supervising the disinterment of remains at Fort Randall Cemetery, reported that a little over 2% of the bodies exhumed were definitely victims of being buried alive.
Oh, no.
2%.
That's what it says here.
If it was just one person, that's one too many.
Well, there's a lot of fairly well-documented cases of people being buried alive.
Are you going to say that they knew this because, what, the claw marks inside the...
I think that's what they're going for. And if you go to cemeteries, you go to a cemetery somewhere, especially if you're in New Orleans, because I saw a lot of this in New Orleans, there's a bell on the headstone. That bell was originally connected by a string down to the person in the coffin, so that if people got terrified about being buried alive, so that if they woke up and started clawing around, the bell would ring. And that's kind of where Saved by the... Some talk that that's where Saved by the Bell or A Dead Ringer came from. And that's also is where the term graveyard shift came from, because if you're going to bury people with a bell, somebody's going to have to stay around the cemetery and listen for a bell ringing. If there's nobody there, then the bell's no. So I know you guys worked on a graveyard shift for many, many years at WGN. Well, the original term graveyard shift came from sitting in a graveyard listening for a bell to ring.
Gosh, our responsibilities were not that heavy, were they?
No, not quite.
Do you remember the movie? I believe it came out in the 60s that was based on that premise. The movie was called Mr. Sardonicus.
Mm. Oh, no. I don't.
And it had to do with a guy who I believe his... father or somebody had passed away, but he wanted some jewelry that was buried with his father. So he wound up digging up his father's body to get the jewelry. And subsequently, I don't remember all of the specifics of it, but ultimately he winds up with this strange grimace on his face, almost a Joker-like face. And he winds up being buried alive. And it was, I want to say, 61, 62, something like that.
Yeah, good memory, Steve. And it was 1961. It was an hour and a half of Mr. Sardonicus, played by Ronald Lewis. And, of course, it has to be in a foggy European town.
Well, of course.
That will remain nameless.
There's actually a case in some of my research here in the 17th century. A lady was died and buried in Scotland. And when grave robbers attempted to steal the jewelry and turn with her, the deceased surprised the heck out of them by groaning. The robbers fled for their lives, and the lady revived, walked home, and outlived her husband by 6 years.
Wow.
And don't you wonder if they gave up their life of crime after that?
I don't know. That might...
I'm thinking that
there used to be a thing called Scared Straight. I think that might, that one might just go down with the Scared Straight.
So we have these notions of how old were you when you first went to a funeral? Because I was already in my 20s when I first went to a funeral.
I was probably, I want to say maybe 8, 9
really?
When the first time I came face to face with the fact that there's an end. I'm trying to remember exactly when it was, but I remember going to a funeral when I was young, not really understanding what was going on. I just have, it's just like kind of little snippets of pictures in my head right now.
My first funeral, but actually I guess it was my first wake was an odd experience. About the same age as you say, about 8 years old. Walk in with my dad. And it was for my Uncle Charlie, Irish. And I walk in and I'm expecting all of this somber atmosphere. People are laughing and joking. And I thought, what the heck? And the bottom line was, it was an Irish funeral and they were celebrating his life and telling stories and,
which is
and
wonderful.
Just being happy about having known.
Did they have the body actually in the room with them while they were doing this? Okay.
They did. Mm-hmm.
That would be typical Irish wake, hoping that he'd had too much stout from a pewter mug.
Well, when you think about the images of death and dying, you think about coffins and caskets. And in fact, this and this book is fascinating, From Here to Eternity. I highly recommend it because she traveled all around the world to find out how people are dealing with the tradition of death in their world. And the Japanese have this wonderful tradition where they have a temple where you're actually buried there, and there's a little Buddha with a light, and when you walk in and you can clap your hands and your loved one's Buddha will light up. And you stand there in this room, and it just sounds wonderful. In this country, you know, we're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, so it's not going to change overnight, probably won't change in our lifetime, but she wants us to get over our hang-up about things like caskets and coffins.
Yeah, because caskets are frighteningly expensive.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean to be indelicate, but when it's time for me to get in one, I really don't care whether it's a Chevy or a Cadillac. You know, it's just not going to make a whole lot of difference.
Okay.
Well,
doesn't matter.
Possibly the oddest casket story or coffin story that we have ever heard of. You know the name Screamin' Jay Hawkins? We were fortunate. Screamin' Jay was a dear friend. We had many conversations with Screamin' Jay. We interviewed him first one night when we were talking about one-hit wonders. And at that point, Screamin' Jay was living over in Paris. Mm-hmm. So we called him over in Paris. And over the years, developed a real friendship with him. But he told us of one of the scariest things that ever happened to him. And this was back in the 50s when I Put a Spell on You was a big hit. He was one of the headliners on one of Alan Freed's rock and roll shows. For those of you too young to remember, Alan Freed was the disc jockey credited with coming up with the term rock and roll. And he had these big rock and roll concerts at the Paramount in New York. So Screamin' Jay was to be there performing I Put a Spell on You.
And Alan Freed had the idea that Screamin' Jay should come out in a coffin. And Jay thought that that just gave him the willies. He said, no, I'm not. And Freed says, I'll give you $300 if you'll do it, because this will be combined with your song, I Put a Spell on You. This is going to be great theater. I mean, people are going to be on the edge of their seats because, number one, they're going to be terrified when they see a coffin roll out. And since Jay was on this bill with other performers like
the Drifters,
the one and only Drifters, one of the guys from the Drifters thought it would be funny to clamp the coffin shut,
lock it shut.
Oh, no.
And as Jay tells the story, they rolled his coffin out center stage,
and Screamin' Jay is in a white suit inside the coffin,
a tuxedo.
They roll the coffin out to the center stage, and the vamp is playing doom 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 doom, and he keeps trying to open the coffin and he can't get it open, and pretty soon the coffin is starting to shake back and forth.
And he said one of the hardest things he'd ever done in his life was realizing that, A, he was going to die if he didn't move that coffin so that the audience would not think that this was part of the shtick, that this was a man who was going to die real soon if you didn't let him out of the coffin.
But as I recall the story, apparently one of the Drifters snuck up, I guess, behind the coffin somehow and
unsnapped it.
And Jay came out and he said, how can I delicately phrase this? His white suit was not quite as white as it was when he first got in the coffin.
But then, the audience loved it.
Yeah.
So from then on, he said, the coffin has to be a part of my act. And the song I Put a Spell on You is considered one of the top 500 songs that has made rock and roll what we know today.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. Because you're mine, mine.
I still miss Screamin' Jay. He was a delightful man. In fact, a quick one other Screamin' Jay Hawkins story. The Chicago Blues Fest, the organizers of the Chicago Blues Fest, listened to our show. They heard us talking with Screamin' Jay. The 13th Chicago Blues Fest was going to be happening on the night of a full moon, and they thought, how cool if we could get Screamin' Jay to come over and play at the Chicago Blues Fest. They contacted us. We got them in touch with Jay. They fly Jay over to Chicago from Paris to do the Chicago Blues Fest. Now, one of the numbers that Jay did was a song called
Constipation Blues.
Jay needed some props. We took Jay to a place then called Fantasy Headquarters. And we're in Fantasy Headquarters searching around for
a toilet. He needed a toilet. Well, this is a costume shop. They didn't have what would be a stand-in toilet. But it gave us great glee to be able to call the city of Chicago and order a toilet.
Jay loved the fact that he was able to get the city of Chicago to pay for a toilet.
And to bring it to Blues Fest and put it up on stage. Because, again, he realized that props worked for him. I mean, the coffin worked for about 50 years very well for him. So the toilet was... It just seemed like the logical next step. That and boas. And toward the end of his life, he got a whole new audience because that song, I Put a Spell on You, was featured on The Simpsons. And so kids were like, oh, that's a cool song. Little did they know that Jay and everybody in the band was completely snockered. Talk about ale. Yeah. It was.
They had been trying to get a take on that. They couldn't. And
they just kept
Jay
drinking.
Just had a few. And what you heard was the
was what happened.
Of, some Jim Beam and Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
That's right. A whole lot of Jim Beam and Screamin' Jay.
Well, we've been talking a lot about some scary things and
people.
Hopefully engaging a little bit in the theater of the mind. And I want to take you back a little bit. One of the masters of theater of the mind is a man whose name many of you may not know. The name is Arch Obler.
Right.
Arch created a series that ran in the 40s?
Into the 50s.
50s. Mm-hmm. It was called Lights Out. And it would be some of the scariest stories you've ever heard. So, what we'd like to ask you to do now, wherever you are, turn your back to the radio. If there's a light on in your room, turn the light off. That's good. Now listen to the dark.
Hey, where are you turning?
The alarm's at Pine Street, didn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. So why this siren? The only traffic out here is on horseback.
Yeah, you can say that again, Doc. It's from nothing to nowhere.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, right with you, Doc. Right with you. Said somebody was hurt?
That's what the switchboard said.
Gee, what a dump. Huh. Don't seem to be a bell.
Oh, there must be. There's a light in there. Try the door.
Yeah, it's open.
Well, let's go.
All right.
Hello in there. Hello. This is another false alarm. Anybody here? I'm a doctor.
What the... Hey, look. In the corner. This I gotta see.
Lady, I'm a doctor from General Hospital. Now, what's the matter?
She is screwy, all right, ain't she?
Frightened.
Come on, Doc. You want us to get her out of here? Or the straitjacket. Should I get the straitjacket? No, Doc, wait. Where are you going?
Can't get it open.
Huh? What's the matter? What do you want to go in there for?
Can't get this open.
Okay.
Whoever is hurt must be in there. Blasted door. Come on, we'll break it down. But the woman. Forget the woman. Come on, put your shoulder to it. Come on.
Yeah, all right. It's dark. Can't see a thing.
Go on back in the other room and get that kerosene lamp.
Well, I'd
get it, I say.
Yeah, I get it. Here, Doc. The lamp.
Okay. Hold it high.
Yeah?
What? Oh, Mother in Heaven.
What? On the floor. What is it?
It's a man.
Oh, no. It can't be.
Yes, I tell you, yes, it's a man. A man. And he's been turned inside out.
Inside out?
Yes, see for yourself. It's a man. But the skin is the inside. The raw flesh is the outside. Organs hanging.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. A man turned inside out. Like you turn a glove inside out.
It's alive. It's alive.
I see.
Alive?
Yes.
Doc, it's trying to get up.
No.
Trying to get up, I tell you. Trying to move.
Sam, hold that light high.
Watch. Look at it rolling over.
Stop trying to get up. Stop that.
Look, trying to get up on its knees. Doc, make it stop. Kill it. Do something.
Sam,
man
stop.
Can't live inside
Sam,
out
stop,
like that. I tell you,
stop. Hysterical old woman, that's what you are. Now you stand there and shut up.
Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, let's get out of here, Doc, please.
Don't be a fool. We've got to find out, Sam. What? What?
Look, there's another door. Yeah. Open.
The answer might be in there.
Doc, don't. We got
the lantern. Bring it.
Gee, Doc, why can't we just go?
Hold it high.
Doc, what?
Don't move. There's no floor in there.
I don't see nothing. Nothing but dark.
Well, look. The dark sort of spills over on the edges.
Huh?
Well, look, I tell you. It's a deeper dark than dark. Something moving in there.
Doc, close the door.
No, wait.
Then I'll close it.
Oh, you fool, open that door. I've got to see what... She's coming in here.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
No, Sam, I'm going to find out what this is all about. All my life, things have been what they've been. I'm going to know all about this.
Please, Doc, please, let's get out of here.
Woman, if you know anything, tell me. What was it we saw back of that door where the floor should have been? Do you know?
She's going to the door. She's going to open it.
Yes.
Oh, Doc, will you listen to me? Let's get out of here.
No, now wait. She's just standing there, looking into the dark.
Yeah. Doc? What's that coming up out of the hole in the floor?
The dark.
It's like black smoke. Listen to it. It's reaching up to her.
Yes.
What is it? Smoke? Black? What?
Crawling up around her. No.
Inside out. It turned her inside out. Inside.
Sam. Sam, get up. Sam, open your eyes. The shadows are crawling along the floor toward us. Come on, Sam. Come on. Sam, you're... Oh, you're too heavy. I can't lift you. Sam, you've got to hear me. The shadows, they're crawling toward me along the floor. I can't leave you. You saw what they did to her. Look at her. Inside out. A woman inside out. Oh, Sam.
I'll drag you out of here. Oh, you're so heavy. They're coming faster and faster. Like long black fingers. Ah, my legs. Let go of me. Sam, I can't help you. They're holding me back. The black. It's covering you. Sam! No. No, you thing, whatever you are, get off me. Stop covering me. I've got to get out of here. I've got to tell them all about you. I've got to tell everyone there's something like you loose in the world. Got to warn everybody. Get off me. Cold. Slimy. How can shadows be slimy? So cold. Covering me over. My head. My face. My face. My mouth. The cold.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bell started ringing and chains rattled loud. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still I made up in my mind to stay. Nothing was gonna drive me away. When I seen something that give me the creep. Had one big eye and a two big feet. Stood right still and I did the freeze. He did the stroll right up to me. Made a noise with his feet that sound like a drum. Say you'll be here when the morning comes. Say yes, I'll be here when the morning comes. I'll be right here and I ain't gonna run. Now you know I'm bald. Ain't no hang gonna run me off. In my kitchen, my stove was a blazing hot. The coffee was a boiling in the pot. The grease had melted in my hand. I had a hunk of meat in my hand. From outer space that sat a man on a hot stove with a pots and pans. Say that's hot, I began to shout. He drank a hot coffee right from the spout. He ate the raw meat right from my hand. Drank a hot grease from the frying pan. Said to me, now you better run. Don't be here when the morning comes. See, yes, I'll be here when the morning comes. I'll be right here and I ain't gonna run. I bought this house, now you know I'm...
Haunted House, Gene Simmons, or to be specific, Jumpin' Gene Simmons.
Because ain't no haint gonna run me out. And that, of course, is a southern way of mm-hmm. calling out your ghost, mm-hmm. your spook. And I guess I didn't realize that. I'm from Tennessee, and when I moved to Illinois, my favorite song was Ain't No Hank Gonna Run Me Out. What's a haint? Well, it's a boogeyman. That's what it is. It's a specter. It's a spook. It's a ghostie. Do you know the term boogeyman goes back to the 1700s?
I believe it.
And it had nothing to do with the piano player.
No, it didn't, huh? Okay. What? I thought Boogie Woogie he's talking about. That's, I'm sorry. I
Boogie
had to,
Woogie ba-dum, man. Ay, ay, ay. Brandon, we'll just leave these two old timers in here, okay?
And just before that, Arch Obler and the Dark, one of the classic scary, scary stories.
Also got a new audience thanks to The Simpsons right. for one of their Halloween specials, one of the Treehouse specials. They took Arch Obler and redid the Dark.
But when it comes to scary authors, probably, would you say the pinnacle was Edgar Allan Poe?
Certainly one of the scariest and definitely the most macabre. I'm afraid, you know, you think about people that you'd like to have come over to the house for a beer. I'm afraid he's probably not one of the ones you'd want, because I'm afraid that was if you read his works, that was definitely a tortured, strange individual. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1809 in Boston and died at the age of 40 in Baltimore, which he lived most of his life in Baltimore. I believe there's a Poe house in Baltimore. And wrote some... Well, he was a literary critic, and he was also a novelist, and he was also a poet. And he had some really, really interesting stuff out there. We all know... We have loved with a love that was more than love, quoth the raven, nevermore. So you always think of a bird saying nevermore. There was some other really, really neat stuff. One of his absolutely best short stories was The Fall of the House of Usher. And he kind of condenses that into a poem in the middle of The Fall of the House of Usher called The Haunted Palace. And I'll read a little bit of it. It's actually quite long. There's six stanzas in that, so I'll read the last two. As this valley, as this kingdom falls into disrepair, ruin, and horror. But evil things in robes of sorrow assailed the monarch's high estate. Ah, let us mourn, for never morrow shall dawn upon him desolate. And round about his home, the glory that blushed and bloomed is but a dim remembered story of the old time entombed. And travelers now within that valley through red linton windows see vast forms that move fantastically to a discordant melody, while, like a rapid ghostly river, through the pale door, a hideous throng rush out forever and laugh but smile no more. The guy was warped. What can I tell you?
And there's a movie that didn't get a lot of play, but I actually thought it was a pretty darn good Poe movie. It was The Raven.
Yes.
Came out in 2012
yes.
with John Cusack, of all people. I mean, on mm-hmm. paper, you'd say Poe, and I just don't think of Cusack, but Chicago's
own. That was a surprisingly good movie.
John Cusack did a really good job, I think, of being that tortured dude that... Boy, he had some demons.
Oh, yes, he did. I mean, the premature burial, the telltale heart,
yeah.
you know, it's just, he really did. And he wrote about his demons quite well.
Mm.
Well, speaking of writers, I was talking with Brandon a couple minutes ago off the air and recommending something to him. And this is one of the classics. And I just stumbled on it a few years ago and... opened the first couple pages and wound up sticking with it. If you have never read Bram Stoker's Dracula, read Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
It is scary.
It's as scary as anything. Maybe not as scary as It, because you've got to use your imagination, but boy, it's pretty mm-hmm. terrifying.
Well, this has been, for us, a lot of fun. We would like to thank the powers that be here at the Radio Place for allowing us to get in the spirit of the moment. And Tom, thank you for hanging out.
Well, you're very welcome. And thank you guys for taking time out of one of your favorite evenings of the year to share with us some scary stories and fun tales.
And Brandon, thank you for keeping us all on the straight and narrow, more or less.
Driving the radio station.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. We still have time before the bewitching hour of midnight to go home and rock around our Halloween tree.
I'm going out to the pumpkin patch and wait for the great pumpkin.
Oh, I think I'll join you. Yes, yes.
Oh, darn.
Oh, and a quick shout out to our friends up in New Buffalo, Michigan at WNBI. Thank you for hanging out with us,
yeah,
too. And
yeah.
If you liked what you heard, this was fun. If you'd like to hear it maybe a year from now, let the powers that be at Radio Place know.
Or check out WKGC.org, where in a day or so, Brandon will have this up as a podcast. So if you want to relive what you heard or go, did those nuts really say that?
Was he reading Poe on the radio?
Yeah, really?
Hmm.
Maybe get your fix for a year.
Yes. For a year. Tied you over for a year. Well, be safe.
And I think, should we leave you with some classic scary words?
Sure.
The way you walked was thorny, through no fault of your own. But as the rain enters the soil, the river enters the sea, so tears run to a predestined end. Your suffering is over. Now you will find peace for eternity.